I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories. Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. I can't imagine the rush and heart racing that comes when a parent gets the call informing them their child is not okay. My guest this week is Jolynn Armstrong. Several years ago, she got that call, informing her that her son had been arrested for a pretty serious crime. Life was never the same again. In that moment and the ones to come, there was pain and suffering and a crash course in navigating the criminal justice system. This all while not trying to lose herself in the process. Jolynn is an incredibly strong and brave person who not only recognized her need for support, but also decided to create a trauma-focused support program to help others having the similar experience. Resources are critical, and when she couldn't find enough of them, she dug in deeper to uncover that as well. It was great to chat with Jolynn about falling from grace only to build back a life that is stronger and full of compassion. Please welcome Jolynn Armstrong. Welcome to the show, Jolynn. I'm so happy that you're here today. I was so intrigued when I was given some background on you and just that you have gone through a really interesting experience. I don't want to say unique, and I don't want to say, not typical or not usual, because I think that in the grand scheme and scope, I think that unfortunately, mothers, families go through really sudden traumatic experiences in their lives when it comes to their kids. And that can mean many things. So I don't want to reduce the fact that there are so many other people's stories going on out there, but your story in particular just really popped for me. So I'm so glad we're talking today and we get to learn more about who you are and what has happened in your life and how you have turned your world into something different than perhaps you had planned, hence our show title of Dreams and Detours. So I'm going to let you obviously fill us in and start sharing more about you, but I really just wanted to let you know how fascinated I am by you already, and we haven't even dug into the good parts yet. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Susan. Yeah, it's our kids sure can make things interesting for us. That is for sure. But I really do appreciate you inviting me on your show. And I am really excited for our conversation today. And it's actually there are parts of it that aren't a ton of fun to talk about, but I think that it's important. And you're right, because so many parents go through kind of unexpected changes in their lives due to changes in their children's lives, it's really important to talk about when that happens, ways to handle that for sure.
Right. I mean, we're not talking about, oh, hey, I'm dropping out of school, or, oh, hey, mom, no. I decided I'm going to be, taking this leap of faith and I'm going to just, travel around with aimlessly. This wasn't right. Something that, was just a bit off track of what you might have planned for your child. You get the call one day that your son has been arrested.
Right.
It had to be like a massive, painful, triggering moment in terms of like a heart racing, in the physical, anxiety and breathlessness that would come with such a call.
And right.
All of a sudden, life is never the same again. So take us back to when life changed.
Sure. Yeah. I think that, I think to get to that, I want to give you a little bit of backstory, because the reality is things like that, an arrest of a child, something traumatic like that, it doesn't trauma doesn't care who you are, what your plans are, what's going on. It will strike if given the opportunity. So I'll tell you just really briefly what was going on that kind of led me into that change. So my husband and I had a marketing business. We still have that business, but my husband launched it back in 2007. And then I joined him in 2012. And it was marketing coaching. So he was teaching small business owners, how to market their businesses in kind of an economical way. And when I joined him, I joined in the coaching as well, and then added done for you services too. But one of the things that we had added was a mastermind program. So we got together about a dozen-ish of our top clients and met once a month. We met via Zoom. I always say I use Zoom before it was popular, right? Before it was cool to do. Right, yes,
exactly. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Right. And so our clients were all over North America. So it was easy to use Zoom to get us all together once a month. And then once a quarter, we would meet in a different city around the country somewhere and do like 2-day intensives, all day long coaching. My husband and I showing up for them and showing them a good time and also tons of education. Right. And so this one winter, our business allowed us to live wherever we want to live, right? Which was just the idyllic life for me. I can spend, you know, winters here and summers there and nobody cares. And, you know, it's just a fun life for us. So that winter we were in California and our intensive in Las Vegas was coming up in about maybe 10 days. And end of a workday, just a normal workday, wrapping up travel plans and whatever. And I noticed 4 missed calls on my cell phone. And I went, oh, what's this? A number I didn't recognize. And once I play that first message, I went, oh no, it's that awful pre-recorded message that you hope to never hear. You know, this is a collect call from an inmate at a county jail. And I went, oh, you know, and then I hear my son's voice saying his name. And yeah, I knew in that instant, like, life will not be the same. It's never going to be. He had been a soldier in the military, like a respected person. And then all of a sudden he's in jail. What the heck? And yeah, that night was horrible. I couldn't talk to him because I had missed any opportunity, 4 missed calls from him. Right. So I had to just wonder that whole night, what was going on? I don't know if you guys know this, but you can't just call an inmate in a jail and right. Call him up and chat. So, that was a horrific night. And that night was followed by months and months of horrific nights, right? Yeah. The nightmare just
your whole life. And now your focus went from being, you know, in this marketing capacity, coaching people, you're on the road, you're about to encounter your group, your special group and VIPs, if you will. And so everything comes to an abrupt halt, no doubt.
Right. Right.
Pivot in a way that, again, the most unexpected pivot that has not just, you know, this isn't just a shift and a change, like, and I'm not downplaying like, oh, if you were to lose a job, you pivot. Oh, if you were to have a fire in your home, get out safe and pivot to figuring out what shelter now looks like. I mean, this is something so much deeper and so much more profound. And so I imagine everything goes on hold as you turn your focus and attention to your child.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm not leaving my son in jail. I can't, you just can't do that. Right. So, but it was also too late to cancel this intensive. People were coming from all over North America and my husband and I had to have this conversation. Like, how do we do this? How do we show
and really,
up for our clients?
How much can you really do in those early days for your son other than like getting a lawyer or, you know, putting the moving parts together and being very operational, I imagine, in a large capacity. And so mature, this whole mm-hmm. idea of like, how do we kind of carry on? Not because we want to, but because we have an obligation to.
Right, right. These people are expecting us to show up. My son needs us to show up. What do we do here? So I think my husband is the most, I'm just going to shout out to him. He is the most amazing person I've ever known. So he, you know, and for him too, we had married, my son was almost an adult when we got married. It wasn't his son either, but he's like, you know what? Here's what we'll do. I'm going to jump online and schedule some flights. We'll go to Colorado. We've got 10 days so we can go to Colorado, interview attorneys, figure out how bail bondsmen work. I don't know how that works, but okay, we've got this amount of time to figure this out. Let's get him attorney. Let's get him out of jail. Let's get him set back up in the military because he was living on base. Like he was full on active duty. So I called in every favor that I could. I got to know his commanding officers who loved him to death. Right. And so we went and we did that. And then we went to Las Vegas to our intensive. And I, you know, talking to a couple of our clients after the fact, like they're like, oh, wow, that happened. Like I,
how like years later or.
Yeah. It's yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. I waited years because, it's not something when this happens, it's not something you typically share with anyone.
No,
like my first thought
not,
was,
right?
Yeah, my first thought was I cannot tell. I didn't even tell my family for a few years.
Yeah.
Like there were family members that did not know that this happened. And so I had to work through all of that before I could talk to anyone about that. And we can talk about that in a minute, but yeah, my clients were like, holy, the couple that I talked to, they're like, man, I would not have known. But we did one more intensive after that, a few months, you know, the next quarter. And then we had to cancel that. It's great. It was my most profitable product actually in my business, but it was too much. And I couldn't continue showing up for my clients at that point. And that is where, you know, trauma touches it, places that you wouldn't expect in your life, right?
Doesn't it though? I mean, it's trauma is an interesting thing. I know a thing or two about that, not just from personal experience, but also having studied and just literally a week ago, graduating as a psychotherapist and really working closely with those who have been impacted by traumatic experiences. And it lives in your body. It's down on a cellular level. And even when you can intellectualize a situation and a crisis and an occurrence, it lives in your physical being. So it rears its head. And until you touch it and get down into those parts of yourself, it bubbles up from time to time. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Well, so congratulations on,
thanks.
Yes. That's so awesome. That is really good. Yeah. So I had to even identify that that's what it was like. You know, giving credit to my husband again, having someone around you that you can trust to tell you, hey, I think you got this thing going on. Like this has knocked you over to a larger degree than maybe you're realizing yourself, right? Because for me, I'm like, I am a mentally strong person. I'm fine. You know, I've got things going on. I can handle this. I can compartmentalize and still deal with business and whatever. And he's like, my wife is crumbling a little bit. I think we need to take a look at this. And so, yeah, for me, I'm like, oh, trauma, come on. I'm not, you know, I didn't, my son's in the military. Like we've seen what trauma is. What I'm facing is not that. And so maybe you can help me. Actually trauma was identified to me and defined. And I want to see if my definition fits what you know about trauma. I'd love to get your feedback because the definition I was given, because I'm like, you know, other people's kids get arrested and they're not traumatized by it. Like, why is this affecting me this way when it doesn't affect other people this way? And so what I was, you know, the education that I got was that trauma happens when there's an outside circumstance or force or situation that you don't have control over, you can't control, and it overwhelms your ability to deal with it. When those things are present, that's when trauma happens. And that's why that overwhelming part is why, it can affect different people differently, right? As the same situation can affect different people differently.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it changes the chemistry inside of us, and it changes our chemical reaction, our physical, our emotional, our spiritual, all of that. It changes all of us. We're 100%, right? It changes the entire composition of us in that moment.
Right.
On the way that we are indeed receiving that impact. And it is an external force that we are not in control of. And so everyone being different, everyone taking things in very differently will have a slightly different experience, you know, and some people really are impacted deeply the way that you're describing.
Yeah. And so I was so grateful for my husband for kind of saying, Jolyn, come on, let's take a look at this. Can you take a step back? And when I looked at it and, you know, when I found that definition, I went, oh, okay.
All right. How long did it take you to arrive at that place where you started to believe that there could be more going on for you and inside of you?
Yeah. So the arrest happened in the winter, in January. And I want to say it was, I mean, by May, when we did our second intensive, that was in Orlando, it was after that, I'm like, I can't do this. And that's when my husband's like, yeah, you can't do this. It was 5 months later. Yeah. This trauma wreaked havoc in my life for 5 months before I did anything about it.
Well, you have to get to the point where you actually acknowledge that it's happening. And it sounds very much typical.
Yeah.
Of what would be the case. You're very fortunate that you have your husband to be an observer of you and what your experience had been like, because he could see those fine changes, those really small but significant shifts, and point them out to you so that you could start to maybe latch on to this idea that something indeed was going on, you know,
bravo to
him and to you, because not everyone opens their eyes and fully wants to embrace or admit that they themselves are having that experience. It's not easy.
Well, right. And isn't that unfortunate? I keep thinking about this now. Like, I think we're better at it now than we used to be, and maybe we're getting better. But I think, you know, had I broken my leg in, you know, during that winter, I would have sought help. Like, I've got this pain, something's going on. I'm not going to try and go run a marathon, right? But I had this emotional trauma, and I went months before I'd even admit that I had it. Like,
And so you two things. One, we're not in touch with our inner parts and our inner emotional selves. And so we need to do more of that. And the other part is, had you broken your leg, you wouldn't have feared someone saying to you, oh, you're weak, or you can't run now.
Exactly.
Of course I can't run. I broke my leg. But if you're feeling unpleasant inside or feeling down or broken in some emotional way, the fear and the shame around that is that someone might see me as less than, and someone might think that I'm weak. I might think I'm weak. How about that? And so that's an unbearable truth people would prefer not to consciously think of. That's right.
And what I realized too was, you know, once I had that identified, once I realized, oh, wow, trauma is a thing that affects more than, you know, it's not just for people that have gone to war, right? That was the reference that I had, just because my son was in the military. This is something that can affect all of us.
That's right.
And, you know, once I had that definition and I sought some help for it, and I started studying this and I started talking about it a little bit with those around me, what I realized was that more people around me were worried about me than spoke up, and more people were grateful that I was seeking help than spoke up. And people didn't think that I was weak for having had that issue. They're like, well, of course it knocked you to your knees. Why wouldn't it? Oh my gosh, Jolyn, like, thank goodness you sought some help. And you know, I realized, like, okay, I need to not have shame around this anymore, right?
Exactly.
And it still took me some time to get fully to that point where I could talk to more people, mostly because of the nature of the trauma that I experienced. But because there's a whole other piece to that, right? The way we view people who commit crimes and are in the legal system, that's a whole other topic. But just the fact fact that, hey, you've experienced something that's knocked you to your knees. You're not weak for having had that happen. And you're not less than for seeking help for that.
No, so, you're actually, it requires strength.
Yes.
To admit that you need some help. And we have a hard time. I feel like in our culture, in this country, we have a hard time asking for help because, again, I feel like socially it is seen as a weak gesture, and it suggests that you're not at the top of your game, or that, you know, you're not succeeding, when that's not, those things aren't necessarily tied together at all. I mean, you can both require help and still be at the top of your game, or be succeeding and be a fully present person. We weren't really meant to go life alone. We are meant to be in community. So and my hope is that idea and that notion is shifting, and the perspective is just shifting, especially after the year we've all just had, where we're coming out of something that held a lot of trauma and impacted people deeply. But going back to what you're experiencing, I also sense that, you know, you're dealing with the conditions and the situation that you're finding your son in. And so that's one set of experience and information that's maybe it's hard to digest, or maybe it's hard to understand. Maybe the system you're trying to understand, the system that either was working for him and was not working for him. Another layer to the complexity of it. And then on the other side, dealing with you in your life, going home with wearing some of that, and then wearing your own stuff, because your own life is going to change. It did change, and it's shifting on its own, separate from being, you know, in the middle of his crisis and dynamic. You know, separately, you've got your own shift and changes. And so no doubt, that's just a really big load, and that's a lot. And so you're seeking assistance at this point in time, obviously seeing the positive side and result of that. Even if it would take more time for you to get through it, you could immediately maybe feel some relief, or at least know that you are, you know, yes, I'm on the right pathway here. This is what I should be doing for myself. And then, like, how long was the actual process that you were involved in your son's situation? Like, did it impact you for months and years? Did it go on for a long period of time as well?
Yeah. So, well, I guess I'll answer that question this way. When I realized and started working on the trauma aspect of it, I looked back and saw, like, this situation is changing me forever.
Right.
Right. When trauma hits you, it will change. It will change you in ways you never knew it would. And what I realized was I can let it change me for the worse, because I was spiraling. Right. I can let that continue to happen, or I can control the change. And
so that's what I was getting at. Because I was trying to figure out, like, at what point in time over the span of, I get it. That's one dynamic and one portion of it, the period that is spent managing the scenario and the situation. Yeah. But, like, at what point in time do you realize I need tools? I need tools beyond sitting across from a therapist. Like, I need tools that help me manage life now, moving forward indefinitely.
Right. So that for me happened pretty quickly after I identified that, okay, this is trauma and this is what has happened. And maybe that's the entrepreneur in me, like, okay, I've got this decision. I'm making this decision. I'm going forward and, you know, I'm going to control this outcome to the best of my ability. And so, yeah, I got started right away, and I spent, you know, I was spending hours and hours, like, spinning off on all of the horrible things that could happen. My son actually did wind up spending about 4 years in prison. And so there was that whole thing to deal with too. But I thought, you know, I can spend this time spinning and suffering, or I can spend this time diving in and learning and correcting course, right? And making things better for myself. And so that's what I did. I learned every possible tool I could find. You know, I studied DBT. I'm sure you know a little bit about that. Yeah. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, these things really, really help. And so it was late summer. So
were you doing DBT with your therapist then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listeners, that's dialectical behavior therapy. It's an excellent form of therapy that I support, you know, tremendously.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And that's what I'm using now. So to fast forward a little bit, like, I have, through this process of healing and learning all of these things, I'm like, you can come through trauma better than you entered it. Like my life now, I thought I had an idyllic life back then. Yes. But it took work though. It doesn't, like, trauma can ruin you, or it can, you know, you can come out the other side a better, like I have. So yeah, my life now is way better off than it was. I'm still helping people with my marketing company, like that survived. So yay there.
Yes, congratulations. That's really
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Even that, you know, I mean, look, now I hear you. I came out better on the other side. And that means that all aspects of your life have a different lens on them.
Yes.
And you can approach business in a way with your eyes and your heart and your mind so wide open. Your level of consciousness now is just way beyond what was before. And so in your business, in a marketing situation, coaching others in that capacity, wow, the value and the gifts that you can bring clients now is tenfold. I mean, I really believe that you accelerated any learning that you would have gotten over, let's say, a 10-year period, just going along naturally, you got that much quicker because of the experience that you had and what you were then forced to look within and learn more about yourself and the world around you, but your place in that world, how you work and operate and move in that space.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a masterclass in that, in healing and in trauma. And yeah, it was, and thousands of hours put into, you know, how do I come out better the other side? And what are things that work for me? What are things that didn't work for me that might work for others? And what I realized was at the end of that, and I don't know, I hate even to say that there is an end, right? Because growth continues. And even to this day, I'm learning things.
Chapter, maybe, you know.
Yeah. At the end of that chapter ended, and I went, wait a minute, you know what? I have these skills that I've been using in business, in marketing. And now I have this education around trauma healing. And, you know, I tried a lot of things that were introduced to me that didn't work for me, but I'm like, ooh, I can see how that would work for other people too. Like I've got this education, I've got this experience, and I can help others through this. And the last piece of that healing for me is bringing that to other folks, you know, and saying, hey, trauma happens to any, like, it's not picky. This happens to all of us. And what I'm seeing through, especially through this whole COVID experience, oh my gosh, people are coming to me. Like, I can't believe, like, I look around on the street and other people aren't hurting like I'm hurting, but this is what the economic shutdown and all of these things has done to me. Why is it affecting me like this? Right. And I see myself back in that year after my son was arrested, like, yeah, I see me in you. And here's why.
Yeah,
you know,
tell us about the work that you're doing now, because I think this is equally fascinating.
Yeah. So I launched Grapevine Mindwear, my coaching business, to help folks through traumatic experiences that they're having, and to help them come out on the other side better than how they entered that trauma. I feel like, you know, that trauma experience, again, it's like a classroom or a pressure cooker, right? It's totally an opportunity that you can harness to really better your life. And so, and that's really how I enter into that. When people come to me and they're hurting and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't even see a way out. All I can see is this storm around me.
And you initially, we do this in therapy too. It's like, you just sort of help them open, very gently release the valve and let some of that air out so that they can start to breathe, get perspective, take themselves, you know, sit back and almost become an observer of their own situation so that they can start to better understand what's happening.
Yeah.
It starts there. Did you find that when you started to do, you know, you pivoted obviously in the work that you do and in the way in which you are working with people and coaching people, it's very specific in nature now, and you are focusing on a very specific area. Did you find that the type of clients that you end up working with fell into a certain like demographic, if you will, or a certain pool of people and experiences they were having? Because I always find that we then become attracted to people that may you know, mirror our own experiences.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, so the shift for me before I launched Grapevine Mindwear, it was a little bit gradual because I had joined a couple of support groups for family members of people who are involved in the criminal justice system. And through that, I found myself providing more and more coaching to these people. And I'm like, man, first of all, it's really fulfilling for me, right? Incredibly fulfilling. And dang it, I'm good at that, right? So,
but did it trigger you at all? Like, did you find you were triggered in any of those circumstances?
Sometimes initially, sometimes. And, but now, yeah, now it's just, there's just a fulfillment around it. And so for that reason, a lot of people who are in the situation I was in, right, which is what happens with a lot of coaches, right? I went through this thing, now I'll help you through this thing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who have family members, loved ones, or who themselves are involved in the criminal justice system come to me for that reason. And that's a more common issue than you might believe. Like, we've got a lot of people in our prisons in the United States, but
I'm well versed.
Amazing.
In this. Yeah. I studied and did a lot of work around the criminal justice system and prison reform when I was in school. And it's mind blowing, actually. And that's why when we opened up today, I wanted to put it out there and say that while, you know, everyone has their own circumstance and their own trauma, this particular story, unfortunately, is not unusual or unique in terms of its profoundness and the replication in this country of it happening over and over to so many families and parents that are out there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And it's a doubly traumatic for folks because you feel like you can't talk about it. Right. So, and because people don't talk about it, we don't realize how a huge of an issue it is. And so I just started talking to people about it. And I don't care anymore. You know, like,
no, someone needs to sort of break that chain. And the fact that you're not just, you know, you're not only talking about it, but you're also able to now offer assistance and guide people through a process that is full of shame and that is full of pain. And that, you know, where do we turn? Where do we go? What do we do? And, you know, we don't even know who to call. We don't even have resources. Like, it's really, you know, you can get into yourself caught into that web very easily. And so
thank goodness
that you opted to be an immediate survivor of your trauma and an immediate productive person who wanted to really come out of it or even go through it. I almost feel like you decided to go through it with a light shining, you know what I mean? And on everything as well as yourself and not hiding from what was going down, as difficult as that might've been for you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I looked at it as, you know, the only way to get past this shame is to do exactly that. You know, you shine a light on it and, face it. And here, you know, here I am, world, this is what's going on. And so, yeah, but you know, I'm also seeing that. So that's a really dramatic example of how trauma can cause shame in your life. Like, that's very obvious. People are coming to me in the last within this last year with the same kind of trauma symptoms, even just around, like I mentioned, that the COVID lockdowns and that, you know, March of last year, everything gets shut down, right? And you have no control over it. People are really, it's affecting them in similar ways, right? Like, I have no control over what's going on out here, whether I can feed my kids next month. Like, what am I going to do? Right. And so that a lot of folks have been coming to me recently with these, you know, these kinds of traumas. And I'm like, oh, you know, okay, let's look at this, you know, let's get you, your feet back on the ground here.
And so did you find yourself then in a position during last year and during the COVID period, which, you know, we're sort of semi still in, I hate to say that it's over. I just feel like we're thankfully ahead of much of it. You find yourself being able to pivot then and really offer up assistance and resources to those who were in some of the most dire situations. Is that fair to say that that's where your
Right.
shifted?
Yeah. Well, when someone comes to me, I'm going to meet them where they're at. So trauma can take all kinds of different forms, right? And that seems to be like a super common form that it's taking, right? It's affecting all of us to varying degrees. But yeah, we're attacking it in a similar fashion where we, you know, let's identify this. Let's find kind of the eye of the storm where we can make a plan for you to move forward and come out better than you entered in to this, you know, a year ago. So yeah, it's been really fulfilling actually to see people who think, oh my gosh, I lost my business. I lost, you know, all these things I've lost, and realizing that, oh my gosh, there's more ahead for me.
I applaud you, the strength and the beauty of what you were able to accomplish for yourself and not just get through that, but to then turn and say, I could help others. Like I can be that person or that rock or that resource for others. And I am so impressed and so just pleased that you were able to do that, not just for yourself, but for the people that you're now able to reach and, you know, and work with. I mean, that's just really brilliant. It's what we always hope is the end result for people in terms of, okay, how do I take this and how do I expound on it, right? And take it out there and make it bigger and even more for those who I can come in contact with. I love that. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful
thank
story.
You. Yeah. Thank you, Susan. I really appreciate that. Yeah. The world, I mean, we need to be helping each other. Come on. So
that's
it.
And I think that that's exactly it. And so if it means turning your business and your business focus into that pathway, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with creating business out of these things, but to be a rock and be a resource, I think that there is, you know, we need more of it. That's the bottom line. We are meant to be a community, like I said in the beginning, and you know, we don't do life, we don't go it alone. We're not built for that. So if we could, especially in this past year, help someone make some sense of it or help them peel it back a little bit, because you know, life is so layered like an onion and it can get like complicated really fast.
Right.
But you're right. I think finding that, you know, finding yourself in the midst of chaos, and then of course figuring out how do I protect myself, my mental health, my emotional well-being, so that I can then create the stability that I had either once had or that I was in the middle of procuring, but you know, life threw me a curveball. And so how do I get back into that place again?
Yeah. And I can't emphasize strongly enough how beneficial having a guide is in that scenario when you're, you know, when you're in the thick of it. I don't think I could have come out, certainly not as well as I have, but I don't know how it would have gotten out without a guide, like without somebody helping me and showing me. And, you know, my husband was initially there to identify, like, you need some help. But then, you know, I sought an experienced guide to help me through that. So I'm eternally grateful for that.
That's beautiful. This is your new pathway down then. So, I mean, I would say, you know, obviously Grapevine Mindware is your focus.
Yes.
And that's what you're moving forward with. Anything new in your pipeline or anything different about the way you're approaching your business upcoming that we should know about?
Well, you know what? I am really, so the marketing company is still there and that's, it's still a thing, but Grapevine Mindware is the focus. And I just love working, you know, I've freed up as much of my time to work with people who are struggling through it, you know, every day. And so I'm here. I've actually developed a couple of things, a couple of gifts for your listeners too. One thing that I noticed was some people find it difficult to really admit in the beginning and to reach out and work with somebody. And so for those folks, I've created just an easy email series. You know, it takes 21 days to form a habit, right? That's what all the experts say. And so I created a 21 day email series to help people who are struggling with, you know, the most severe part of crisis, right? When your feet aren't on the ground and you just need to find that kind of eye of the storm or the calm space. And so it's a simple, you know, daily email saying, today, do this thing. take it. And they're simple DBT exercises, right? Excellent. Therapy exercises. Today, do this exercise. Try this one and see if it will work. Do this, you know, and I, so I describe those each day. So that's free for your listeners. It's on my website. I created a page for your listeners. It's grapevinemindware.com/dreamsdetours. So excellent. I hope you'll put that in link in
we
the show
will
notes.
Have that in the, yeah, we'll have it in the show notes and I'll use it when we post. That'll make sure that our guests. So if you didn't hear that, we will have that in our show notes and you'll be able to access it. And I love that. One more thing. Do you do all of your groups on your Zoom calls, and is it one-to-one only, or is it also in group form?
Yeah. So I do both. So I like to meet people how they're going to, everything's via Zoom, but a lot of my clients will call in if they don't want to appear with me on camera. I love the connection, right? but so Zoom allows you to just call in if you want to do phone call style, whatever. And I like one-on-one, especially in the very beginning where we can kind of ground you and get you started. And the group work that I do is with folks who are already kind of familiar with the DBT exercises, because we go through those together in the group, and I keep the group super small. I curate them on purpose. Like, okay, you're going to fit in here. Yeah. So small curated groups that meet, usually biweekly, really, really customized to what's going on with the folks that are in it. So
I love that. It's been so wonderful talking to you. And I like the work that you're doing. I love the work that you're doing. And I wanted to make sure that we were able to at least say that out loud for our listeners so that they can latch on and they know exactly what they can turn to you for. And I think it's really special.
Wow. Thank you, Susan.
So thank you so much for being here today.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Yay.
That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.